Again, please, to the Gospel by John. Reading today in the 11th chapter, John chapter 11, on verse 1. A certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, said he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. Down, please, to verse 11. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And down the chapter, please, to verse 41:41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and said, What do we, for this man doeth many miracles or signs? If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away our place and our nation. Again, the Lord will bless this beautiful section of his precious word. Now we continue looking at this subject in our study of the signs in John's Gospel. We mentioned them with only a selection of 8 signs. So this is the final sign prior to the death of the Lord Jesus. And we'll be using the Lord's divine title throughout the 7 signs. The first sign was at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, where the Lord Jesus Christ turned the water into wine. There we saw that the Lord is the answer to disappointment. The second sign was, and we used the Lord's divine title there, incidentally, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The second miracle of sign was the healing of the nobleman's son. And the Lord Jesus there was the answer to despair. To disappointment at the marriage, and to despair in the second miracle. The man said, Come down ere my child die, and the Lord said, Go, thy son liveth. We use his title there, Jehovah Rophika, I am the God that healeth thee. The third sign is in chapter 5, the healing of the man by the pool of Bethesda. Here again the Lord Jesus is the answer to despondency. There he was 38 years by the pool of Bethesda, and the Lord healed him and said, Go and sin no more. There we saw him as Jehovah said, Can you? The fourth sign was the feeding of the 5,000 men, women, and children. There we saw that he was the answer to destitution. There was no food to supply the hungry on the hills around the Sea of Gennesaret. And the Lord Jesus multiplied the 5 loaves and the five barley loaves and the 2 small fishes. And he again, we saw him as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And then in chapter 6 again, two miracles in one chapter, there we see him as Jehovah Shalom. The disciples were going against the tempestuous waters, and they were so discouraged, they seemed to be getting nowhere as they traveled approximately 3 miles during the whole night, these rugged men rowing against the wind and the waves. And the Lord is the answer to discouragement. And he said, peace, Jehovah Shalom. In the sign in chapter 9, which is the sixth sign, we saw him as the answer to the darkness. He was a man born blind. And the Lord said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, and you remember he came seeing. So the Lord is the answer to disappointment, despair, and despondency, to destitution, to discouragement, to darkness. And here in chapter 11, he is the answer to death. Now we use this title on Tuesday evening, regarding the blind man, Jehovah Raha, the Lord is my shepherd. Now this is the seventh miracle, and here we see him as Jehovah El Elyon, E-L-E-L-Y-O-N, Jehovah El Elyon, which is the Lord Most High. Over in the book of Genesis, chapter 14, verse 22, the king of Sodom, after the defeat of the kings by Abraham, the king of Sodom says, you take the goods, and I'll take the person. And Abram says, I have lifted up my hand to the God of heaven, the Most High God. And that is his title, Jehovah El Elyon, the Lord, the Sovereign. Now there are two titles and two functions of the Lord Jesus that are constantly linked together in the Word of God. One is the Shepherd, Jehovah Raha, and the other is the Sovereign, Jehovah El Elyon. Now we looked at chapter 9, the healing of the blind man, and we injected into that sign the 23rd Psalm. But chapter 10 is the development of the Lord as the Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He is the shepherd, and his people are the sheep of his pasture. There we see him as a shepherd. Here in chapter 11 as the sovereign. Now, over in the book of Genesis chapter 49, they are brought together there, the Lord as the shepherd and as the sovereign. There Jacob speaks and he says that the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Now the lawgiver from between his feet, so Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. There we see him as the sovereign. But in the same chapter, it said of Joseph, a type, a picture of Christ, that the archers shot at him. They hated him. But his arms are borne in strength by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd and the stone of Israel. So there we see him as the sovereign and as the shepherd and as the stone. Again in the Song of Solomon chapter 1, these two titles are brought together, the shepherd and the sovereign. The blind says, the king has brought me to his chamber. There we see him as a sovereign. And then she says, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. But why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? So you see, friend, in that chapter, he's seen as the sovereign and also as the shepherd. Now chapter 10 concludes with the shepherd's destination. And this is so vital as introductory to our subject this morning. We find that John, the Lord Jesus, took them, the disciples, down to the River Jordan, verse 41, and there, rather, verse 40, and he went away again beyond Jordan unto the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. That was the shepherd's destination, in chapter 10, there he abode. As a good shepherd, he took his disciples down to the place where John first baptized to give them a refresher course. The faith was waning, and they were discouraged. And so what better place to take his sheep than to the place where John first baptized? Because that was a place, you remember, of recognition. When God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I find all my delight," as he came up out of the waters of baptism. And so if their faith was waning, this would encourage them. This was a spiritual injection. To them, it was a place of recognition. Moreover, it was a place of repose. The Spirit came down and descended and abode upon the person of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the bird of peace. And the bird of love, it was a place of repose. They would also remember it was a place of renunciation. That's what John said. He must increase, but I must decrease. And it was a place of revaluation. In verse 41 it says, John did no miracle. John never exercised supernatural power. John did no miracle. John never raised the dead. He never fed the hungry. He never spake in tongues. John did no miracle. But all things that John said of this man were true. So that tells me, Christian friend, that the supreme exercise and delight of a child of God is not subjective experience, but objective. Not us, but Christ. What we get out of Christianity, thank God for it. But the primary purpose of God saving our souls was to be occupied alone, exclusively, with Jesus Christ. The place of evaluating. He must increase. I must decrease. And it was a place of regeneration, as many believed on him there. The shepherd. Now he's still in the same location in chapter 11. And we will look first of all at the sovereign's delay. The sovereign's delay. And then the sovereign's decision. And the sovereign's definition. And then the sovereign's deliberation. It's a tremendous chapter, and really we have to spend a whole week just to do it justice regarding exegesis, but as time permits, the sovereign's delay. When news came that his friend Lazarus was sick, the Lord purposely stayed right there at the same location on the banks of the Jordan 2 more days. That was the sovereign's delay. Now, by the time they got to Bethany, it was 4 days that the body of Lazarus lay in the grave. So the journey from the Jordan to Bethany would take them 2 days. But he purposely delayed his going to Lazarus for the glory of God. He might very well have said, as he did to the nobleman in chapter on the second sign, "Go, thy son liveth." He could have healed Lazarus where he was at the banks of the Jordan. But this was to be the ultimate. This was to be the miracle of miracles. And so the Lord Jesus, in the first miracle, the first sign, we see him in the house of feasting. Here in the seventh sign, he is in the house of mourning. In the first sign at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, he's rejoicing with those that did rejoice at the wedding. But here in the seventh sign, he's weeping with those that wept. And it says, "And Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus." Verse 3, "He whom thou lovest is sick." The word used there is filio, the one whom you are fond of is sick. But then in verse 5 is agape, and Jesus loves Martha and Mary and Lazarus, a deep-seated love. The shepherd, the sovereign, delayed. And now, in verse 7, we have the sovereign decision. Let us go into Galilee again. So this was an enigma to the disciples, because it was there that they sought to take him and to kill him. And they expressed that in their dialogue with the Lord Jesus. But the Lord went on to reveal to them that a walk in the night without him is a walk of fear. But a walk with him in the light is a walk of faith. He mentions that in the dialogue. If a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Now here is the sovereign definition. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Now it seems evident that when the message came from Bethany, he whom thou lovest is sick, that at that point in time, Lazarus was already dead. And the Lord knew that because he is the omniscient Christ, he knows everything. And so he says, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. When I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. The disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall be well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, and he thought that he had spoken of taking rest, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So the Lord, in his definition, touches on the walk and on the waking. I go to awake him, and then the witness, I am glad for your sake that I was not dead. This was to reinforce their faith. Our friend Lazarus. I never cease to marvel at that statement, our friend Lazarus. You remember as Jehovah, Abraham was called the friend of God. And Moses was called the friend of God. And here Lazarus is called the friend of God. And you and I this morning, we are either an enemy of God or we are a friend of God. There is no area of neutrality. Our friend. A man as friend must show himself first to be friendly. But we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And oh well might we say, what a friend we have indeed. Friend, let me ask you a question this morning. Are you a friend of the Lord Jesus? And he as the sovereign calls us his friend. The sovereign's definition. Now in verse 16 down, we see the sovereign's deliberation. In verse 23, the Lord presents himself to them as the patient teacher. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha made the statement, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But the Lord again could have given the command away back on the banks of the Jordan to heal it in Bethany. But again, this was going to be the ultimate miracle of miracles. Thy brother shall rise again. And immediately her mind goes into motion, because she knew there would be a resurrection, as she said, at the last day. But Jesus gives us this superlative statement in verse 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Notice the great subject is eternal life. And the gracious source, I am. And the glorious secret, it's obtained by believing. There is a reference here to that great event which is not too far distant, which is developed in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. The doctrine of the resurrection is developed by Paul in several of his epistles. But here the Lord gives a preview to the doctrine developed by Paul, and here I believe in verse 25, he's speaking about the Old Testament thing. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That verse is very precious to me. We back in Edinburgh, Scotland. On my father's tombstone are these words. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The Old Testament thing. And I believe the second reference is to the New Testament thing. Whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What a priceless picture, again, of the rapture. We saw that in picture form as the Lord came down on the waters of Gennesaret. And there were the disciples in the fourth watch of the night, roaring and roaring and roaring, discouraged. And in the fourth watch of the night, he joined the little ship. And immediately, they were on the other side, whither they went. Beautiful picture of the rapture. When the Lord will join the church, and immediately, we shall be on the other side, where we're going. Here the Lord endorses again the rapture. And I believe, I don't know how you react to the scriptures, but I really believe that the Old Testament saints will rise with the Church of God. There are some preachers, amillennialists, believe that there will be a resurrection after the church is gone of the Old Testament saints. That I cannot see from the Word of God. In that great galaxy of stalwarts, that hall of fame in Hebrews chapter 11, commencing with Abel, right down to David, Samson, Jephthah, and so on. The writer to the Hebrews says that they, without us, shall not be made perfect. And in chapter 12, in those eight things that we have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, registered in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. But also there we read, we have come to the spirits of just men made perfect. And his brother, Robert McClurkin, the late Robert McClurkin, said, what kind of a reunion would it be without dead, without the Father? Abraham is called the father of the faithful. And in Father's Day, it's a great thing when Father is present on Father's Day. And so I believe that when the church of God is called home to heaven, that they will go, the Old Testament saints, as the friends of the bridegroom, and they will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Old Testament saints, as well as the New. Some have gone as far as to say that the Old Testament saints might be 7 years after the rapture resurrected. Some have gone to say even 1,000 years, and at the end of the millennium, the Old Testament saints will be resurrected. And again, as my beloved colleague, Mr. McClurkin, used to say, can you imagine you and me being in heaven 1,000 years longer than Abraham? He said, I don't think that would be possible. And I agree with him. The Lord gives us preview of the rapture of the church, the sovereign's deliberation. believest thou this? He has to appropriate all things relative to Christ and to eternal life and to ultimate resurrection on the principle of faith. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Mary was petulant. She was in the huff, if you will, because she knew that the Lord had the power to raise Lazarus, and she remained at home. But after this timely message, then Martha says, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Oh, what a blessed thing, beloved, that the Master did come. He came to Bethlehem. Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful. Blessed be his name, seeking for me. The coming of Christ is a tremendous subject indeed. The Master is come. Thank God he came. The coming of Christ. But notice the invitation of Christ. The Master is come and calleth for thee. And so, my friend, if you're not saved today, God knows your heart. The Lord has an invitation for you. The Master is come, and he's calling for you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the final message in the book of the Revelation is one of invitation. I, Jesus, have sent my angel unto you to testify these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And today he says, come. And the Holy Spirit says, come. And the people of God say, come to those who are still in their sin. The invitation of Christ. The Master has come and calleth for thee. And as soon as you heard that, that's the message of Christ. And what a message this is. One of salvation, but also one of judgment. God always gives a balanced ministry. And notice, and as soon as she heard the message, she arose quickly and came unto him. That's the response to Christ. The coming of Christ, the invitation of Christ, the message of Christ has come. And here was the response. Immediately, she arose and came. No dilly-dally. And we must act quickly to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Much more could be said about the sovereign deliberation, but finally, we go on, we have seen him as a patient teacher. And we see this poignant trial in verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled. A cyclone of grief enveloped our beloved Lord. And he saw these mourning sisters. And they learned experientially, it's better to go out into the house of mourning than into the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. They found this was a tremendous experience. But here he groaned in the spirit. He saw the ravages of sin right there in manifestation. Because by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. For death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And through the obedience of that one man, Adam, we became sinners. But through the obedience of the last Adam, many have been constituted in righteous. The last Adam, there never will be another. And I think that that is one of the most priceless little verses in the whole Word of God. Jesus wept. He weeps with those that weep. Now the world today, they are in the house of feasting, in their sins. But for them, it will be a time of mourning, eternal separation from God. But God's children, as they go into the house of mourning, for them it will be the ultimate transportation into the house of joy. For weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And when our dear ones are laid to rest, we sorrow not as others that have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also which sleep through Jesus will God bring with him. For the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We have two friends in Edinburgh, Scotland, and they work in a stone quarry. Two lovely Christians, they were elderly men when we were just young folk. And they were invited one evening to a social in the local civic center by one of these stonemasons. And he said to these two friends, you'll have a nice time, it's going to be a real good social gathering. But in his Scottish accent, he referred to as a social. So our friends declined. They said, we appreciate your offer, but we might be going to a greater social. He said, what could be greater than this? Well, he says, this social, there will be millions at this social. He says, what kind of a social can this be? Millions. Where will this social be held, he said. Our friend said, the social will be in the air. And he became more interested and more interested. Finally, they touched on the scripture. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a great social. So shall we ever be with the Lord. There, Jesus wept, and the Jews said, oh, how he loved him. My friend, this same Jesus loves you today. He willeth not the dead of any. Now, quickly to conclude, the time is almost gone. They come to the tomb, there was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. And Jesus says, take ye away the stone. Now, incidentally, friends, the Lord will never do for us what we can do for ourselves. Man could not multiply the loaves and the fishes, but the Lord said to the disciples, you gather up the fragments, and the Lord will never do for us what we can do for ourselves. And so he said to them, you move the stone away. And Jesus said, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. This is the ultimate miracle of miracles, Jehovah El Elyon, the sovereign Lord. Remember the young child, Jairus' daughter, had just died, and the Lord raised her. The young man from Nain was on the way to the cemetery, and the Lord raised him. Here Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, and by this time he stinketh. Notice the constant relationship. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. The Lord gives an example of prayer in faith. I thank thee that thou hast heard me. The consistent relationship. And the consistent communion, thou hast heard me, and he talks about always. And then thank God for this compulsive response. I heard that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stood by, I said it. that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And here is the final little section. We have death annulled, we have Lazarus awakened, and we have sinners arise. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Death annulled. One day we'll stand by our Savior's side, and that monster death will be gone forever. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The one who is all-powerful, the sovereign Lord, he is the one who has power over death. Death annulled. Then Lazarus awakened, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Now in this section, this particular verse, we see the three types of manhood in this verse. Lazarus dead, that is a natural man. Lazarus raised from the dead and bound hand and foot with grave clothes, that's a carnal man. He's got life, but he's got no mobility. But loose him and let him go. That's a spiritual man. So the men that walk the streets of Nassau that are not saved, God says of them, dead in trespasses and in sin. But sad to see there are many Christians, and they have life, but they are bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And they've got no spiritual mobility. But the Lord's desire for you and for me is this. Loose it. And let him go. To go in and out and find pasture. Liberty. And finally, death annulled. Lazarus awakened. And the outcome was sinners aroused. Then many of the Jews were fortified which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believe on him. So you see why the Lord said that this miracle was for the glory of God. The marriage in Cana of Galilee, this beginning of miracles that Jesus in Cana of Galilee and it manifest forth his glory. And here in the seventh and final one before his death, glory in the raising of Lazarus, and souls, precious souls were saved. Let's pray tonight that God will do a work in this building, and that glory may come to Christ through his precious blood, and that souls might be saved for his glory. Now we're with you, God willing, on Tuesday evening. That's an added luxury. We were expecting not to go until later on, or rather earlier on, but we will be here on Tuesday night, and we will look at the final eighth sign in the will of the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee again for this privilege of looking into thy precious word. We thank thee again for the raising of Lazarus, the miracle of miracles. And we thank thee, O Father, the same Lord Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead will raise our beloved friends who have passed on before, and we'll all meet in the air. What a blessing that will be for the gathering of the ransom for all eternity. We give you a heartfelt thanks for all thy kindness. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Time is fully gone.